ask an attorney. Just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law with attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. Hey, happy Memorial Day weekend. So we honor those who have sacrificed it all for our country. And it's really sad to me to, on the way to the radio station this morning, to listen to college kids being interviewed who didn't even think we should have a Memorial Day. They should delete it as a holiday. How sad our country has gotten to that point where there are many college students who don't even know. There were questions about what Memorial Day was. And it's very, 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 very sad. They don't even know and don't want to celebrate it. You're listening, you're asking an attorney all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin. We're here to answer your legal questions. If you have a legal question, it can be just about anything. It can be about wills, trust, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys, health care surrogates. It can be just about any area of law. And if I can help you understand an issue or help you understand a legal problem or just a problem, hey, I'm here to help. Doesn't even have to be a legal question. Just be something I can do for you to help you, give you peace of mind. You're listening to Ask an Attorney all about Florida law. Again, I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. You have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673, and phone lines are open, and be more than glad to assist you, even if it's just a regular problem, something you're having difficulty with another person or an organization. Be more than glad to help. A lot of our questions deal with estate planning. That's one of our primary practice areas. We deal with estate planning, real estate, family law, Medicaid law. We deal with a lot of issues dealing with just being able to help you, not too much litigation, although I can be glad to answer questions about litigation if I can, or traffic law. A lot of our questions deal with what to do if you are going through a divorce and how does that affect your estate plan. And hopefully you're not going through a divorce. I would certainly encourage you for mediation and so forth to save your marriage and do anything you possibly can. Well, I was talking to a gentleman yesterday who had a girlfriend for 12 years, and he wound up putting her name on his house. And then they separated for various reasons, and now she wanted to be paid to get her name off the deed of the house. Well, gosh, what a mistake that was to put her name. They weren't married. He put a name on an expensive house. And then they separate. And then she wants to be paid. So, actually, he did pay her something to get her name off the house. But, hey, if you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877. Toll-free number if you want to call the show today, 943-9673. Had some Canadian clients this week who wanted to own the Florida condo, and on the Florida condo, they wanted to avoid probate in Florida. They were Canadian residents, but they own Florida real estate. So the question was, how do you do that? Well, a lot of my Canadian clients, or foreign clients, or British clients, or whatever, they're not U.S. citizens or even residents of Florida. They create a trust just for the property, and they can avoid probate by by creating a trust to put their property into the trust to avoid the probate process. So that's definitely, even if you're in, have a will, sometimes we do wills. Sometimes people have more than just a condo. They have some bank accounts and various other accounts in the U.S. And they have a will in Canada, or they have a will in Great Britain, or they have a will in a foreign country. Sometimes we do just do wills or trusts for just U.S. property. So you can honor and acknowledge the will in the foreign country and do a will just for your U.S. assets, if that's a question. A lot of our questions come in about out-of-state wills or trust. If you have an out-of-state document, is that good in Florida? Well, the answer is it might be, but it should be reviewed to make sure. The phones are ringing in my headset in here, in this office as well, in this studio. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. If you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. We'd be glad to take your call. If you have a legal question, be more than glad to help you in any way I can. It doesn't have to be a legal question necessarily, just be a problem. Maybe you lost a little sleep last night thinking about something. And if you did and want some help, maybe a different opinion on getting some different directions on what to do, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. And we might be having, I'm not sure we're having phone difficulty this morning. We're not. Okay. All right. 877-943-9673. And if I can help you in any way, please give us a call. The other questions we get about estate planning, I had a couple this week that came in. And it was a second marriage. And the gentleman owned the business. The wife had probably more assets than the business was worth. They had a joint home. So the question was, I lost my caller screen now. They have questions about how to do their estate plan. So they had his, hers, and joint assets. So what to do about that? Well, you can have, we discussed three trusts. We discussed it, his trust, her trust, and a joint trust. Let's go to Susan calling from Tampa this morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Susan.
I have a question about putting your home in your trust when you establish the trust. Is it best to put it in right from the beginning, or do you advise a different road to take?
Well, I do. I do trust almost every day I'm working at the office, which is most days. And normally, when we create a trust, we do a quick claim deed, transferring the property from them to themselves as trustee of the trust, and we do it at the same time we create the trust. Client is instructed if they ever sell that home, we don't record that deed right away, but it's in the trust, just not a public record. So if a client were to sell that home, they could sell it individually, and if they buy a new property, they could buy it in their name, or they could buy it in the name of the trust. The trust is like a bucket. You have the rest of your life to put things in, take things out.
So what's the advantage of not recording it?
Because it's not, you can record it, but it's not necessary, in my opinion, because it's not a transfer to a different party. You and the trust are the same entity. So if you sell the property while you're living, it can be sold individually, which is a little bit easier than selling it as a trustee of your own trust. And since it's not necessary and the deed can be recorded at the time of your death along with following your will, that's when the successor trustee, another person, would have to be involved in the process of selling your home is after you die. Or even if you become incapacitated, it could be recorded for selling it. So
okay.
The deed itself puts it in the trust. That's enough to avoid probate. When you record it, it's kind of an option because it's not a change of ownership. Now, if you were to sell me your home, I would want a warranty deed, and I'd want the deed recorded, of course, to prove my ownership. If you're deeding it from you to you as trustee of your own trust, then it's not necessarily to record because there's no change in ownership. But it would be recorded upon death when the successor trustee needs to take over the property.
Does it cost to record?
Since it's not a sale, you're talking, recording fee, I think, is $19.20. It's not a big deal when it gets recorded, either before you die or after you die.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you for listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. If you are listening and you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. We'll be glad to talk to you on this Memorial Day weekend. You're listening on multiple stations around Florida. Just to let you know, we're broadcasting today from Tampa and from the Salem family of stations, which is 570, 910, 860, 930 AM, all on your dial. A lot of FM components also associated with those AM stations. You also are listening 96.3 FM out of Sun City Center. And that's the community station there that also has an FM, station along in their family of stations. It's a Christian station there, 101.1 FM. And glad to be on both of those stations. And we have offices in Sun City Center and have a great relationship with the station and the staff. And it's a community station, so I really enjoy being part of that station, those stations as well. But on 90.3 FM out of Haines City, Florida. That's owned by Landmark Baptist Church, WLVF. And we've been on there for years and years, 25 years or more, I think. And we helped them with their telethon every year. And actually helped in the early stages of developing the telethon there. In Jacksonville, where we also have offices, we are on 600 AM, The Answer. I think there's an FM component to that station, 101.3. And so we're on various stations around the state of Florida, and they carry the show. It was nationally syndicated for a while, and we're so glad to be here and be able to do the show. People keep asking me how much longer I continue planning on doing the show. Well, hey, as long as I can do the show well in my own mind and maybe the minds of others, I'll probably continue. It's something I like to do, something I've done for 37 years, and every week I've been on multiple stations, nationally syndicated for a while, and it's just something I like to do is to come in and help other people. If you'll notice, it's a 52-minute straight run with no commercials. I just don't do shows with commercials here on Saturday morning. It interrupts the show. Some products I wouldn't want to advertise on my show, so they run all the commercials at the end of the show, so I don't able to give you a commercial-free show. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. You have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. I'd be more than glad to take your question. It can be, it doesn't even have to be a legal question. It could just be a problem I can help you with. So a lot of people ask, well, what's the difference between a living will and a living trust? Now, to most of you, that would be a simple answer you could answer yourself. But a lot of people ask me that question, so I'll just quickly tell you that a living will is a self-directive medical decision that if you're terminal, vegetative, unconscious, end stage, you don't want to be artificially prolonged. That's different than a DNR, which is a medical document. Basically, if you die, you don't want to be resuscitated and brought back. It's a basic definition I've received recently for a living for a DNR. Living trust is just a fancy will, I call it, to avoid the probate process. Let's go to Ina in Sarasota.
Yes, I live in Sarasota, Florida. I used to have a state of Florida criminal trial case. And for some reason, they dropped the charges of this person who been under my case, and somebody advised me to go through civil case. Does it make sense for me? What do you
think? Oh, to conceal, expunge your record on the public records?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Well, have you ever had any other type of criminal cases come up in your past?
No, no, not at all.
Just one?
Just
yes. one, this yes. one?
No,
and what's the nature? What's the nature of the crime you were charged with?
It's a burglary, next door neighbor.
Was it a home invasion case?
Yes, yes.
And it was dropped?
They dropped, did not have enough evidence.
Okay, so you weren't convinced.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, but they told me that.
Yeah.
State of Florida criminal trial case.
All right, so let me, if you email me, I'll give you a criminal attorney who is a former state attorney who can bring up your record on file.
But my problem is I'm blind. If you're able to provide me the phone number, it will be easy, but I'm not going through internet.
All right, well, I don't have his phone line memorized. You have to call my office.
Okay, would you please provide me the phone number, please?
Phone number at the office is, I'll give you the 800 number since you're calling from Sarasota. Uh-huh. 800 226
626
1 800 226 3529
Okay, thank you so much.
All right.
And toll-free number, right?
Yeah, and ask for the phone number when you call in, and ask for the phone number for Hunter Chamberlain. He's who I would refer you to on that matter.
Hunter.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Thank
right.
you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's go to Henry, who's calling from Sarasota. Hey, Henry.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. What can I do for you?
Oh, okay. I had called a couple weeks ago and in regards to a bill from a local hospital, and you had told me to write a letter to the administrator, and it worked, and I want to thank you for that. The bill was over $1,200, yeah, and they reduced it to $200.
Well, great.
So, I really appreciate that. and the second thing is... Well, this is involving traffic. Traffic tickets, two traffic tickets. Would
right.
you be knowledgeable with that at all?
Yeah, go ahead. We're going to ask
okay.
your question.
All righty. Yeah, I had two vehicles, and I wanted to keep one, sell the other, and buy a new truck. So I went to the truck dealer, purchased a new truck, sold the other vehicle that I wanted to sell and kept the one I wanted to keep. And I'm merrily driving for 9 months with the new truck and the other vehicle, which was a van, by the way. And I got pulled over, and they told me that the van is unregistered. And I had renewed the registration. I knew that. And they gave me two tickets, one for an invalid registration sticker and driving an unregistered vehicle. You know, and I'm baffled, of course, because I knew I paid it for it for the year. Come to find out, the truck dealer took the van off the road for some reason. I don't know why. I didn't trade it in or anything like that. And now I'm going to court over it, and I went to the Vehicle Bureau in Sarasota. They gave me a printout and broken, computer English that says registration, I don't know the proper word for it, but they took it off the road, that the dealer took it off the road. And
what does that mean, they took it off the road? The dealer said it was undrivable?
No, I... I'm trying to remember.
I don't know what that means. I mean, I really don't know what that means.
Yeah, I know
means.
What you're saying now. It just popped in my head. Maybe they transferred the registration from the van to the new truck that I purchased. But they, I remember what it said. Registration removed by dealership on a printout.
But you paid. But you paid for the registration, and you have a receipt that you paid.
Yeah, the canceled check. Yeah, I do. And
do you have a title? Do you have a title to the property?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, everything I did, I can prove everything was legit on my end. That I did nothing.
Well, okay. So unfortunately, you have to go to court. Just take your title. Take your proof of payment of registration. I don't think the judge is going to do. I would guess the judge is not going to do anything to you. You've paid your registration. You have a title. And if anything that needs to be corrected on the records, I'm sure you'd be advised at that point what that has to be. But I can't see the judge doing anything. From what you've told me, I can't see the judge having any adverse action against you. You have a paid registration, and you have a title. So if there's some kink in the paperwork with DMV, I'm sure they will advise you what the real problem is and how to get it corrected, but I can't see the judge. I would guess the judge is not going to do anything adverse to you.
Yeah, no, they are. I've been in front of the judge. I pled not guilty. I showed him the printout and a kind lady at the vehicle department had highlighted everything showing that the dealer took it off the road.
Have you talked to the dealer about why?
Yeah, they stonewall me. They're like Sergeant Schultz from Hogan's Heroes. They know nothing. They totally stonewall me. I mean, I went and got an attorney, and all he says he can work with so far is the statute. Because one of the two tickets.
Well, what is the attorney? Now that you have an attorney, I'm not sure I can even talk to you, but what did the attorney say you needed to do? How does he get corrected?
He keeps talking about the statue. One of the two tickets, because they got me for the decal, or the sticker, the registration sticker, and renewal.
Yeah.
I at the time I had two vehicles and I had switched the decals. I put the car dealer sticker on the van and the van on the car by mistake. And it blows my mind because you can look at the sticker and you can see it has the license plate number of the vehicle it's assigned to, and it would show that I own both vehicles.
So why were you in court the second time?
For the two tickets for the unregistered vehicle.
All right. Well, listen. This is kind of getting convoluted here. So I'm sorry. You have an attorney. You have an attorney helping you, so I can't. It's unethical for me to probably advise you further once I found that out. So,
I'm shopping around for ideas because he keeps talking about the statue, and I can prove the dealer took it off the road. Why do I need to even worry about a statue and do a PTEE or whatever the heck they call
it? Well, it sounds like did you buy a new car from the dealer and they just changed your tags to the new car and then you didn't switch them or something? Yeah. All right, Henry, I really wish you the best. I hope you find an attorney that can help you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Right. And thanks again for the last time. Like I said, I listen to you every Saturday morning.
Oh, great. Thank you.
I love your show.
All right, thanks so much.
Bye now.
All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. We're open. We're about halfway through the show now. If you'd like to call the show, I'd love to talk to you and try to help you if I can. You have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673, 877-943-9673, and the phone lines are open. That question makes me think of an often question I get about whether an automobile should be placed in a trust. And the answer to that is no. My normal answer is no. Why? Because you don't want the trust to own your other regular assets. And you don't want the trust then to also own the car. If the car's in an accident, they sue you. They sue the trust. Not that they would have to sue the trust, but cars don't go through probate is the general answer. Now, there's not a formal probate process most of the time in cars. So you don't necessarily have to put them in the trust to avoid probate. If you're a married couple, you want to put the car in the name of the primary owner. And the primary owner would be the primary driver. So you want the car in the name of the primary driver. So if there's a lawsuit and the car's owned by both, husband and wife, then they sue both of you. And if you own joint assets, they could possibly get to those. If the car's in one name, the primary driver, and then the car's in an accident and that primary driver's driving, they sue that person and they can't get to jointly held assets held between husband and wife. So they always have a car just in one name. All right, let's go to Laura calling.
Hello, Joe.
Hey, Laura.
I have a question about a phrase in my mother's trust.
All right.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay. My sister and I are co-successor trustees of my mother's trust, but there's a phrase in my mother's trust that states the successor co-trustee shall serve jointly and severally, and either shall have full power and authority for the trust without the consent of the other, and to act independently in performing transactions on behalf of the trust. Now, in her trust synopsis, it states the successor trustees must unanimously agree in order to act. So that phrase means to me that we can act independently and not tell the other what we're doing with the trust.
Yeah. Well, there's two, that sounds to me, there's two conflicting phrases in the trust. Now, I would never do it that way.
Uh-huh.
I give a client a choice. You can have number one trustee with a backup number two, or you can make them co-trustees. If you make them co-trustees, then they both have to sign. I don't put the word they can act, separately.
Independently.
I don't put that in there if they choose joint.
So
and your trust sounds like
it
got to.
And get that clarified.
Yes. Yeah, I would definitely clarify it to one way or the other.
Okay. And we should go back. Now, the addresses for my mother and my sister, who's my co-trustee, they're not correct in the trust. Should we go back and get that corrected?
Well, the way I do it, to answer that question, is I never put addresses in a trust because, you know, I don't want clients to have every time somebody moves, they feel like they have to change the trust document to amend it.
Yeah.
So there's no reason to put the addresses of the people in the trust, in my opinion, so I never do.
Okay.
But if they're wrong in there and you're going to make an amendment anyway, you can just tell them you'd prefer, or you talk to an attorney that they said that they never put addresses in their documents because then you always feel like you have to change it, and ask the attorney if the attorney thinks it's really necessary to do that.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you for all your help. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. If you have a legal question, the phone lines are open, and we are more than glad to try to help you in any way we possibly can. Let's go to Joanne in Sarasota.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. I have a question for you. You helped me years ago, but I've forgotten the whole drill. On a Clifford Trust for a minor, they last, 10 years, right? Is that correct?
Well, how long a trust lasts somewhat depends on the language in the trust.
Oh, this is a Clifford Trust.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a 16-year-old grandson, and I wanted to put a modest amount of money in there to be sure that he gets it. Does that protect the asset and ensure that, say something happened to me, who takes over the management of the trust? And can you create
it? It depends on who you named as a successor trustee in the trust.
Right. And they have all the rights and powers, et cetera?
Yeah, I tell you what, since you're my client and I created the trust we're talking about, it'd be better if you call and just make a phone appointment with me.
Well, I'm not your client. This, what you told me, there must have been 25 years ago, and that's why I can't recall it.
Okay, if I didn't create the trust, what you could do is to send me an email or mail me a copy of the trust, call and make a phone appointment. I can look at the trust and answer your questions.
Oh, thank you very much.
All right.
Take care.
Yeah, there'll be no charge for that. I'd be glad to do that for you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Hey, we have about 20 minutes left in the show. If you want to call, I'd love to talk to you at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. And if I can help you in any way, I'd be more than happy to share what I know, get you pointed in the right direction, hopefully give you a little peace of mind. And you have some bothersome things bothering you. Bothersome things don't go away in your mind, do they? So I've had one of those come up this week where, you know, if you have a waking moment during the night, you're thinking about it. It just kind of creeps, things can bother you and just creep into your mind and bother you more until you get it resolved. And if I can help you, give you a little peace of mind, get you something worked out with another person to talk to. And if it's not a legal question, I'll just give you what I personally do in that situation to answer. And that's not always a legal question. It's just a helping you problem question. Let's go to Rose in Lakeland, who's calling.
Okay, Joe?
Yes.
I was confused about living will, living trust, and power of attorney.
All right, well, I actually explained that a little bit earlier. So living will is just a self-directive that says if you're deemed terminal, vegetative unconscious end stage by two doctors, that you have chosen not to be artificially prolonged on high-tech heroic life support equipment. So there's no other name in the document. It's a self-directive medical decision. A living trust is just a fancy will where you'll appoint someone as a trustee with a backup and a plan of distribution upon death of assets. And the advantage of a living trust is no probate. The power of attorney is giving someone the power to do all matters of assets not in the trust, dealing with government agencies, healthcare decisions, giving someone the power to do things for you. If you can't do them yourself, you have a backup plan, so you would never be declared incompetent. Most clients said, we have a trust package. So when you do a trust package, you get a trust, a pour-over will, a power of attorney, health care, surrogate living will, and we deed the house to your trust. So there are, you know, five or six different documents there that you would do as part of the package. I think they're all necessary to have a good estate plan.
Okay, so now, how do I get in touch with someone? Because I had a will, but I don't know where the will is. Mm-hmm. We had a big storm here about 3 or 4 years ago.
Okay. Let me tell you, we have an office in Lakeland, so if you would choose to
work, you have an office in Lakeland?
Yeah, right on Lakeland Hills Boulevard. Very close, a couple of blocks from the hospital. And I'm there usually on Mondays. Of course, this Monday's a holiday. But I'm usually there on Mondays, usually Monday mornings, and sometimes Monday afternoons. But if you want to make an appointment to see me, I'd be glad to see you. Their toll-free number is 863-422-1370.
Okay, well. I have too many numbers here.
863-422-1370. Extension 200. All right, thanks, Rose.
Okay.
All right, let's go to Mark in Tampa.
Hello?
Hey, Mark.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I have a situation where I was in an accident approximately a year ago. And after a year, the insurance company, which no longer handles me, they dropped me, notifies me that I have to fill out insurance, proof of insurance, and some financial status and send it into them. And I waited a week to call back. And so, and there was a second person that called and wanted to represent me in this situation if needed. And I waited a week. I called, left messages with both of those people. Neither of them got back to me. And after the third or fourth time I called them, then it was like my phone number was blocked. I actually went down to the insurance company that used to represent me, and I asked, could you please look at my phone, and then I want you to do it on your phone and call them. And she automatically got through. I could not get through. Finally, she gets somebody on the phone after 10 minutes, and I explain the situation with the notification that I've gotten. And she goes to the, they identify you with the
caller ID?
I think, I'm not sure.
Right,
but anyway, she comes back. Say that again? I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. You're taking a lot of time here. Just get to the question.
Okay. She tells me, everything's okay. Everything's okay because the opposition signed the release. We gave them the money, and
Yeah.
Was it unlocked? This probably doesn't have anything to do with your question, but was it unlocked with the keys left in it?
It was unlocked, correct.
And the keys are left in it?
I believe so.
Okay. So how do you get money from the insurance company? You file a claim saying the car was stolen. They might, since it was just this morning, and you've called the police, right?
Correct. They just filed a report, yep.
Yeah. So, you know, the police might find the car pretty quickly, and you might get the car back, and then you wouldn't have a claim, probably.
Oh, okay.
If they find the car damaged, or it's stolen after whatever requirement the insurance company has, and it's gone for so many days, then you have to file a claim and then work with the insurance company to get the answer to that question.
Okay.
So I call the insurance company right away, report it stolen, and they'll tell you what's going to happen next.
Okay, beautiful. I appreciate it.
All right. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney all about Florida law. If you have a legal question, I'd be more than glad to try to help you. The phone lines are open at 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. So my advice to everyone listening to the show is never leave your car unlocked with the keys in it anywhere you go. Driveway, shopping center, grocery store. You need to keep your car locked and keep your keys. And, you know, I've had questions about people would go in, they would leave their car running, you know, leave the engine running, keep the air conditioner on, open their door, and then go into the house for 5 minutes, come back, the car's gone. I tell you, you can't be too safe in today's world. You need to lock your car at all times and just assume somebody wants your car and they're going to take it if they can. And I was listening to the radio this morning where some teenage guy had stalked a house for like 10 days and then wound up stealing or kidnapping a child. I mean, you got to be aware. You got to keep aware. Make yourself always aware of your surroundings. Fortunately for me, it's Memorial Day, of course, and I know Memorial Day celebrate the Gold Star families and the soldiers and military people and others who have made the supreme sacrifice. I was in the Virginia National Guard for 11 years, and I was in a combat engineer group, and part of that I was a recon officer. So I think when you're a recon officer, you get a lot of training on constant recon of your surroundings. So I have that as a trained, I think it was somewhat a natural thing I had to always be aware of my surroundings, but also I had additional training on how to do that. My dad's a proud Marine, so I hope you're going to do something like I'm going to do on Monday. I'm taking my dad to a church service, a Memorial Day service. He's going to have on his red jacket and be a proud Marine, and we're going to, and he's 96 years old. And they have pictures of some of the veterans in on the wall there at the church. And I'm not sure if he might be one or two of those left that served in the war that will be there. So it's going to really be a special event. And I think it's so sad that our teenagers and college students don't really want to abolish Memorial Day, don't even know what it is. And they don't go to events like that to learn more about the sacrifices that have been made to make this the great country that it is. Hey, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. We have about 8 more minutes. The phone lines are open. If you have a legal question, all you have to do is to call at 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open at 877-943-9673. Anything I can do to help you in those remaining moments, I'd be more than glad to. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to learn more about our firm, we have the website. By the way, we're broadcasting today live on WeBeam TV. So if you've missed part of the show and like to have the video, you can go to WeBeam TV, and the shows and prior shows are all posted there on their network of shows. A lot of the radio stations that we broadcast on have podcasts. If you have an iPhone, we have an Ask an Attorney app on iPhone where they have a bunch of shows stored there. It's an Ask an Attorney app. A lot of the stations have podcast features where you can go to and listen to previous shows. If you would like to, we have a Zoom. We have a YouTube network of legal Zoom shows we've done on various legal topics. Just look for Joseph Pippin. If you'd like to join me on Facebook or LinkedIn, just Joseph Pippin, Attorney Pippin. You could put Largo, Florida, and probably find me pretty easily. We have an Ask an Attorney Facebook page, a Law Offices of Joseph Pippin page. So we're all out there on social media and glad to connect with you if you're interested. If you'd like to call the show in the remaining moments, you have 877, just toll-free number, 877-943-9673. If you'd like to receive our free estate planning poster sheet, it's a large double-sided poster sheet, has all of our offices and phone numbers on one side, has 5 articles on estate planning. Everything you'd probably want to know, the 3 choices in estate planning, the cost of probate, how trusts work with a little diagram, all of that's pretty much outlined on those sheets at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. You know, a lot of people tell me when they come see me, they come in and want to do some estate planning, and then we can finish it up very quickly, a week or less, sometimes even same day. And they say, man, I put this off for so long, and it's so glad I've got it done, and it was a lot easier and quicker than I expected. I don't know why people dread doing estate planning, but some do. And it's something everyone should do. And you should not really put it off. You can get it done very quickly. The cost is, I think, reasonable. In our office, we have a fee schedule on our website. So our website is www.attypip.com. Part of that is a fee schedule. So you can get fees of what we do. So, for example, if you wanted to do a will, it's like $150. You need to know if you choose a will that it was going to go through probate. If you can do a living trust, all the fee schedules are posted there. Let's go to Jerry in Sarasota.
Hi, Joe. I'm doing what I think is a pretty simple sell my house and buy another house. And they tell me I don't need an attorney in Florida. Is that always true or sometimes true?
Well, selling your house might be the most expensive financial thing you do in your lifetime. And it doesn't hurt to pay an attorney $100, $200 or so to review the contract to make sure everything's as you want it. And no surprises at closing. Selling the house sometimes involves disclosure of certain things. I know your contract might say as is. There's usually clauses about mortgages and payments and closing dates and contingencies and like loan. There's a lot of things that should be reviewed on a contract. So my advice would probably be to have an attorney review the contract before you sign it.
Okay.
Or accept
Thank
it.
You.
All right. All right. Let's go to Victor calling from Nocatee.
Good morning, Mr. Pippen.
Hey, let me ask you, is that my dad on line one calling? No?
Hello?
Okay, yeah, Victor, go ahead.
Okay, I have a question on the Homeowners Association law. I don't know if you could recommend to someone who practices that or if you could answer a question or two for me.
I can, if you want to call the office, I can give you someone who specializes in that.
Okay, and the office number is?
You're calling from where?
I'm calling from Kissimmee.
I'll give you the 800 number, 1-800-226-3529. Go to extension 200.
Extension 200.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
All right, let's go to Joe in Largo.
Good morning, Joe.
Morning.
Semper Fi to your dad. I have a quick question. A friend of mine developed cancer. It seems to be pretty bad, stage four. He thinks he's not eligible to try to get Social Security disability. Is he eligible? I mean, he paid all his life. Now he's unable to work.
How old is he?
He's about 58.
Well, I think he could be eligible. He just has to apply.
Okay.
I know I have I know someone that's 51 that had a serious medical condition, and they went through the procedure and got Social Security disability. And the common thought is you get denied on your first try. This particular person was successful on their first try, but if you get denied, you do appeal it, and a lot of times you can win those.
Okay. All right. I'll have them do that.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right.
All right. You're listening. You have been listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippa, and I wish you again a very happy Memorial Day. Take a few minutes to honor someone who made this, or someone in their family, the great sacrifice that was made for our great country, and celebrate the day in a way that it's really meant to be celebrated. And I know I'm going to do that on Monday at a church service with my dad. And both of us have military.